listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
According to a poll conducted by Monmouth University, which sport do fans miss the most? Dell?
Wait, say this again.
According to a poll conducted by Monmouth University.
Oh, lacrosse, easy.
Well,
lacrosse or soccer?
No, lacrosse did not make the list.
Well, they weren't interviewing Monmouth students.
25% said baseball. 19% said the NBA. 14% said football.
How could you miss football? Football's not going on.
Well, because they fear that it won't.
Okay.
And then the NHL at 5%, which proves that baseball is the most popular sport.
Does it?
And why did Yardbarker do this? What is their supposition here? It's clearly a flawed poll.
Why is it flawed?
Because we all know baseball. Well, first of all, it is baseball season. People and basketball
miss
season.
Yeah, people miss baseball. Yeah.
So okay. You're saying which one of these sports that be going on right now do you miss? Oh, the sport that would be going
well,
on.
Well, actually,
right now?
It is a loaded question because if it was the fall, everybody would 98% would say
some
football.
Some people saying we don't miss football now. They don't play football now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the Roughneck season is over. So
well, that's what everybody misses the most.
Yeah, no.
That's and by they football, they meant yeah. Roughnecks.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Your poll, not your poll because you didn't conduct the poll, but that poll's stupid.
Well,
I've made a decision.
It's not stupid. It's telling everyone baseball is the most important sport in the world.
Conduct that poll in September and see if there's no football.
Mm-hmm.
See how it goes for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Dabo ain't helping himself. Now, players are standing behind Dabo. And this is the headline. Did you see it? Clemson players defend Dabo Swinney amid racism controversy. What racism controversy is there?
I think it's a lack of empathy and understanding controversy, not necessarily racism. Although Dabo was accused of using the N-word. We talked about this. He allegedly used the N-word, maybe not even allegedly, used the N-word to tell the guys to stop playing songs with the N-word when we have guests.
No, it wasn't Dabo. It was his assistant.
No, it was Dabo, too.
Dabo did it, too.
But one of the coaches did it on the practice field.
Dabo did it in a locker room.
And this was a different
incident, yes.
Okay. Oh, that's right. That's right. Because
the
one that initially came out, and then that came in after the other one surfaced.
And all of these things have been players taking to Twitter to discuss. And that player, for example, said, how can you discipline this guy when you had the same issue and nothing happened?
Was that player, out of curiosity, was he somebody that finished it or who transferred?
I don't remember which one, the one who accused, who said
the one
about
who
Dabo.
Came post facto, Dabo.
I don't remember his history. I just know, I have to look it up. He wasn't a star or anything, but.
It's so hard with coaches just saying the phrase N-word. What's so hard?
I don't know.
Why would you even cross that line? That's another one. Common sense isn't that common.
But knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Play it again.
No, don't play it again.
will there be shirts made for
knowledge
by the Texans?
Oh, no,
but I want one.
A knowledge is, and the silhouette of cow.
Who owns knowledge is power? You can make that shirt.
Can I put it in Liberty White and Battle Red and
Steel Blue? Deep Steel Blue.
Knowledge is power. Thank you.
Did he say thank you?
Yes, at the end. I just haven't played that part in the past.
Oh, I got to put that in there, too. Now, from now on, it's got to be knowledge is power. Thank you. I didn't realize he said thank you.
Knowledge is power. Thank you.
Well, but that was the end. Thank you for...
He was done with his particular...
Knowledge is power. Thank you.
Do hostages normally say thank you at the end of their videos?
They usually
say... Unless it's a hostage, he was making a heartfelt...
I've been told by people they're saying that it was a hostage video.
Who's saying it's
Who
a hostage?
Who said that?
They're people.
John.
He named his people. He didn't just keep saying
you don't
people.
Give up your source.
It wasn't a source.
You don't give up your source.
He gave his source up right away.
Gosh.
I'm not a journalist. I can give up my sources.
Oh, my goodness. You gave up your source.
Yeah, you told everyone that it was a hostage video. I'm not the only one you told that to.
Mm. Jordan Spieth, 7 under, 2 under today through 5. What? That's right. That's right. Texas is back, folks. Justin Thomas going the other way, plus one through five. So here we go. Here we go.
Where is the misleadingly named Harold Varner?
He is actually even today, still seven under. Xander Schauffele has taken the lead at minus eight, 3 under for the
Xander
day. Xander Schauffele.
An American.
America. Yeah, he's America. Yeah.
Where's Xander?
Ryder Cupper.
Xander's from the, La Jolla. Oh!
President's Cup.
I'm looking at Xander and I'm a little confused.
Why? He's confusing.
By the way, I did find out. I did.
John knows what I'm talking about.
Easy. Yeah.
Is he confusing?
He's confusing.
Okay. Yeah. Xander Schauffele.
If
I just told you what I thought he was?
He was French.
What he looked like?
Xander Schauffele,
I would miss.
Yeah.
You would be a. You'd probably be. Oh.
You wouldn't think that's a Xander Schauffele.
Michael Pietras?
No. No, it's not that. But just look at him. Look up the Colonial leaderboard and you'll see Xander. You probably can't spell his name because I couldn't.
You're allowed to say Colonial.
Well, that's the name of the tournament. Until they change
it, the name of the course. Charles Schwab.
Xander is like whatever. The seventh Xander that pops up. Xander Mobus. Don't know what that is. Probably an anime character. Xander Cage.
Ooh. Triple X?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's Triple X. Vin Diesel.
Xander Berkeley.
That's an actor from 24. Remember him? And other things.
Xander Buffy?
Oh, that was the name of a character in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
How do you know all this stuff, Del?
Because I watched a lot of TV as a kid.
Xander Harris?
I don't know who that is.
Xander Schauffele.
Yeah. Go ahead, look and see, and you'll understand why he's confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's confused.
No, why Del's confused.
Oh.
It was surprising. That look and that name, and I'm still not sure what I'm looking at.
What do you mean what you're looking at?
I know it's a human being. And that's about where I end on my certainty.
Mm-hmm. Do we have the cable today?
Nope.
Or is it still out?
It's all down.
No, I'm
DirecTV?
I'm looking at Jalen Rose right now.
You're watching Jalen Rose? Oh.
Yeah.
How about why not Justin Rose?
Because I don't have to watch golf since that TV's broken.
Damn it.
And are they even on right now?
No, they're probably not. I don't know. Well, we could get all the highlights from yesterday on the Golf Channel.
And what will we do with them, John?
Because we would watch them over and over again.
You can watch them on YouTube.
I know, right? I know.
Watch all the highlights you'd like. You can hear that dude curse. Or find just Jim Nance going, wow. I guess we're in a new world.
Well,
I guess he dropped the F-bomb.
Isn't it delayed where they can...
It was not delayed.
It wasn't delayed.
Apparently not, because Jim Nance was saying, well, if anyone was offended by that, I apologize.
Well,
because he dropped. That's a good effing shot, is what the guy said.
That's okay. Yeah. That's a good effing shot.
Yeah.
That's what came out.
Yep.
Justin Rose had a quote. He said, it was a little weird. You know, I was kind of fake tipping my cap to nobody when, you make a birdie and there's nobody, applauding because that usually happens when you're Justin Rose.
Yeah. Popular player.
And so, but he said one of the caddies was giving us applause. So that was nice. Although he did say there are stands. How about this? You want to talk about being industrious? If you live on the course, they've built some stands in the backyards for people to watch. You could sell tickets, and you could.
Did they do that?
Yeah,
they're selling tickets.
No, the fans, the people that live on the course, have built some stands in their backyards.
No, I recognize that. Yeah. So they can watch. Are they making money off of it?
I would if I weren't you. If the golf course was in your backyard,
I'd try.
Yeah.
Would you set up porta potties or let people use your bathroom?
Well, you would charge. It would be friends that you'd charge.
Oh. You're charging.
Why would
friends?
I charge my friends? Yeah. I'd charge strangers.
Let me ask you a question. Do you get charged when you go to Rockets games with Chad?
No. No, I wouldn't charge Chad, per se.
You said friends,
though.
You just
said you charge friends.
I know. I had friends that never give me anything.
Wow. Wow. I would have charged strangers. That's why.
How many friends do you have that don't give you anything? Name them.
Oh.
Does Yanni give you stuff?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Dana?
Yeah. We're doing that deal with him.
So you're basically, your friendship is for sale.
He can be bought and paid for.
Pizza?
Oh,
you got to bring a pizza. Okay, all right. Yanni's got to bring
That's
barbecue.
A minimum.
If
That's
Yanni's
a minimum
coming,
amount.
Yeah, you got to bring barbecue.
It's a minimum amount.
So, would you force if Yanni to bring barbecue to your home? Would you force him to use a public restroom?
Probably. I'd say, yeah, listen.
Go outside around the corner, around the garage.
By the air conditioners.
You can't erect stands at your high rise.
I know. I was talking about the lobby, the bathroom and the restroom and the lobby in your building. Not,
what if
not at your home, your ex-home.
The balcony.
Oh, what about that?
Just go over the edge.
You just can't use my toilet.
Yeah, you can't use my toilet. All you brought was barbecue. Forget it.
And no fries? Beat it. Go pee off the balcony.
Alonzo doesn't give you anything.
His friendship.
Access to the Browns at one point.
Yeah, I was down in there. He gave me so for 100%, Browns equipment. Now I got to get my Seahawks gear.
100% you're for sale.
Yes. Yeah. This isn't new.
No, I know.
He's
a hula.
He's a giant.
The light bulb just hit.
Popped over his head. What's the matter with you?
I didn't realize how wide-ranging this
is. He's
was.
A giant sports hula.
I didn't realize it spidered across his entire friend base.
Of course it does.
Do you consider Dell a friend?
No.
Yes, he's my best friend.
What's he brought you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
We're not friends.
That's why. He would get charged.
Not friends.
That's why.
He would get charged.
People are like, Dell, why don't you ever go to John's place? Because he would charge me to use the restroom.
Yeah. Sorry, Dell, you cannot get. And then somebody's like, are you saying Dell has to go to a separate bathroom?
He will look a lot.
A separate one. He's
everybody
just getting charged.
Else has to go downstairs.
No, I don't have to go to a separate
Dell
one.
Dell can use my same bathroom.
No, I just have to pay for it. I'm not going to separate one.
Right.
Then he
get charged.
Then that defeats the purpose.
Yeah, because he brings nothing
anymore,
to the
John.
Table.
You're no longer woke, John, if you're making
when I'm a guest at what mm-hmm. if I'm ever a guest at John's place, there'll be like a coin thing on the door, and I throw in a couple coins, and I get to unlock it, and I only get 5 minutes in there. And if I stay in there longer, I got to put in more coins.
Hey, is that something they have over in Europe or something?
I don't know if they
have
time.
You pay to get into a bathroom?
I don't know.
It's a good business, Mark.
That is a good business.
I would never pay or go in free to a porta potty somewhere. Like, hey, you know it'd be great going to this porta potty at Burning Man, it'd be great this Coachella porta potty. I don't even like going at the Shell Houston Open when we're there on day one at 7 a.m. Like,
and it doesn't stink.
Oh man, I don't
know.
It's
blue water in there.
I hope it's blue water. And then you look in there like, oh, what's that?
There's always a fear at those festivals that someone's like, you know, it'd be really funny. If we tip this porta potty over with someone in it.
Oh, that's my. That is my. That are snakes coming up through there. But someone tipping it over is my worst.
So I would never.
Worst
fear. Snakes is going to be a fear for people forever.
Yeah.
As a child, you fear toilet
snakes.
No,
but how about being dumped in a porta potty?
Yeah, that's pretty horrible.
Oh.
What about being dumped and turds and snakes fall on you?
Oh, God.
So I would be peeing in a bush when it comes to those places. I'm not taking a chance. Someone thinks something.
Because I would think it would be funny if you were in there and I tipped it over.
At a festival where
Burning Man doesn't just have, but well, that might.
I'm talking about like at Coachella where someone would think, if we know what we're going
to
do.
Oh, AJ paid to take a pee at the train station in Belgium. They take euros and all my money was in pounds. So I was literally about to pee myself. He says piss myself, but I'm cleaning it up for the kids.
Good.
Pee myself. Trying to get money exchanged. Wow, you do. I figured this felt like a European thing.
And at the train station?
Yeah.
Wow.
And guess what? It's probably clean.
Yeah. So
Belgium has probably hash in the streets, legalized prostitution, and you pay to pee.
Alonzo does give John perks. Remember they sent Alonzo into donut shops to get free donuts for the golf boys.
Did he get golf donuts for all of you?
No, he just got them for himself.
Yeah, and he didn't know they were free at that time.
No, he went up to pay, and she was, you take it.
You guys have been through enough.
That's what she said. And he was like, oh, I like white people. No.
He needs to walk in
at donut shops, not at poker places.
Alonzo.
Not at poker places.
The poker business loves
them. No, the individual. There's an individual.
One guy.
With the MAGA hat on.
And what's crazy is I told the story before where I heard somebody use the N-word with Alonzo at a blackjack table in Mississippi. And I forgot part of that story is that Tom Vaughn, who were there, sir, I don't think you know who you're talking to. And Alonzo's like, you better leave this table. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my. I don't.
We're in Mississippi, guys.
There is one person I do not want to piss off.
You need Alonzo to go into that donut shop when you guys are all going to go and want some donuts.
Yeah, right.
Just say, I'm glad you're an ally. And they're like, oh, he remembers us. Okay, here's.
Are you going to stop being an ally?
Alonzo could go, I've got several of my friends outside, too, who I told the story that you're an ally. Oh, well, here's some donuts for them, too. Now, don't go in, John. That's the thing. When Alonzo says several of my friends, let them just make kind of racial stereotype.
Right. They're waiting out. By the way, it's actually, they're waiting outside.
And it's actually John.
It's John and Chad.
Dana in a car.
9-6.
These are your friends?
No.
Yes.
Yeah. They got to pay.
Yeah, what? You don't think I can have friends like this?
6:37.
Whitey got to pay now? Whitey got to pay.
Let me get some orange juice, a chocolate milk, and two apples.
Yeah, but see, if they looked and they saw me,
they would see a white guy,
say, I'll be 2:36, sir.
Mm-mm. It's a 9-16 ESPN.
Give us the bear claw back, sir.
713-780-3776.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.919 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Do not stop. A-hole move. Sending tipped over porta potty videos.
At John Granato. A-hole
move.
Hey, Lightning. Hey, Team Lightning senders to me. Now you got your. Now you can load up on John.
No, that's it. Do not send porta potty.
Why
did you get a lightning strike earlier?
People do that because they're a-holes. They always send lightning to me.
Yeah.
Every day, there's a lightning.
Every day, you get a lightning.
Every day, lightning videos, lightning stories. How about this story? Study shows that 100% face mask use could crush a second and third COVID wave. Imagine that. Isn't that crazy that people said, sorry, guys, face masks and gloves, bad. You're not supposed to wear face masks.
My condoms.
Everyone, but that always seemed weird to me. Like the glove, the cross-contamination, okay, that makes some sense. Even though you can wear gloves and put your... You can put your hand sanitizer on your gloves, too, and it works also. However, the idea that masks were somehow like, sorry, guys, you really aren't supposed to wear masks because they don't work. Like, but it covers my mouth, and droplets might have a harder time getting through. Sorry, guys. World Health Organization said it actually is going to give you coronavirus if you have masks on.
Hmm. What?
Excuse me? Well, they didn't say that. It felt like it. And then they go, okay, guys, we've done some studies. Looks like masks are actually okay. So apparently masks will keep things from getting in your mouth, droplets, which still grosses me out here.
What about the eyes, though? I heard that you got to cover your eyes, too.
It can get in
eyes, too. Yeah.
Yeah. You wear glasses, so masks sunglasses. Alone,
if somebody coughs and it goes into your eyes and you're wearing a mask, then you defeated the purpose.
Not if you have pink eye, because it can't defeat pink eye.
Well, how do you get pink eye now? Because I heard of different stories.
Don't trust what Judd Apatow tells you. You get it if you're allergic to pets.
What?
I don't know. I just know this. Wearing masks seems like a smart move. It always did. And if it means, I know it's stifling some of your freedoms. I'm not saying it's fun to wear masks in the heat, because it's not at all. It really sucks. But I know for some of you, it takes away your freedoms. But if we said, hey, you know what? We could just crush this and people could get back to work if you wore some masks. I just know that people say, nope, that's a trick. That's fake news. And I'm not going to wear a mask and let you trick me into
I believe people
being a communist.
Yeah, I believe people.
Yeah, we're not doing this for communism. We're just trying to slow down.
Per se.
And keep people. Yeah, per se. It's not communism per se. It's really just kind of a slowing down of the process into the hospital beds and ICU. So that we can get back to real life. Like, we all want to go to a swim pool, right? Yeah, so just mask up for just a little while longer, and maybe we kind of slow this thing in Harris County and we get past it, and maybe we can go to some football games.
I see people driving around in their cars, though, with a mask on, and I'm like...
Yeah, that one's troubling to me. That also lets you know how...
All of him talking about masks, this is all I hear. Get your sickle and hammer, and... salute your song.
There goes my rights.
Yeah, all I hear when you talk about putting a mask on.
Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to wear a mask 24/7.
Commie.
Okay.
That's how communism starts. Masks.
Yeah, everyone doing the same thing.
Everyone doing the same thing. And my favorite thing is the pseudo wannabe communists who like communism is great. No, the good kind of communism where you don't have oppressive police forces and authoritative, you know, authoritarians in positions of power squashing and crushing your rights. Like this,
that's a good kind.
You know, this is not a utopia, right? Like there's years of history and writings and.
Yeah.
You're not. It's not going to work out like you think.
Yeah,
going to Cuba is such a. At no point have I been a communist, but going to Cuba
says you
and watching all these people like and nobody works and the guy who's the driver, the cab. I said, "What? Like, how much do y'all make a month?" He's like, $35 a month. I'm like, "Ooh, that seems like this." Yeah, but a lot of things are paid for, and that's why no one will. He said, "There's lots of work to be done." I said, "Is that why y'all have no jobs?" Like. Just no jobs because a lot of places don't have windows. There's nothing. He goes, oh, no, no, no. We have lots of work that needs to be done. Just no one will work. He said, you make about the same by not working as working. So no one chooses to work. He said, all those things that you see, and they say a lot of it in Spanish, like Solis could translate. And it's, some of the guys spoke decent English. They said, look. You know, you see these buildings collapsing and falling down, dilapidated, and windows. Oh, yeah, no, we all know that that needs to be fixed, but no one wants to fix them because it's you have to have factories where you can build this stuff for your own. We can't bring it in from out of the country, and we don't have people who want to work in factories. They still get paid to not work. Not a lot, but enough to just...
Yeah, we see how that's working out, getting paid to not work right now.
Survive.
Well,
but that's good money that some people are
getting. Yeah. No.
I guess, Lance, the difference is working doesn't offer you any real advantages in terms of money being made, correct?
That's it. There. It offers you some, but not enough that people care enough, he said.
Right.
Like, you do make more working than not working. But now if you're in a hustle, like driving those really nice old 1950s vehicles or whatever that they have, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever it is. I think it's 50s. Really nice, cool, kick-ass ones. Well, they hustle people like me. Mm. You know, we end up paying America. They understand that cap. Though, well, there's some capitalists there. Don't worry about that. The guys who are trying to get us to buy their cigars by secretly doing hand gestures when we were in the cigar rolling place, and they're going. Doing the smoke symbol, like I got, because they get 5 a day. So in Cuba, they get 5 cigars. The guys who roll, they have to roll 100 a day, I think. And you get paid based on the type of cigar you roll, and then your money. And then you also get 5 cigars per day to bring home. Well, they're hustling that and trying to sell it in the streets. And they see some Americans come through, and they're trying to, everyone's trying to get our attention very quietly. And like, hey, I got some cigars for you. And all I can think of, is that's probably a good deal for me if I bought it directly from this gentleman who's in the middle of rolling and getting my eye with eye contact and doing hand gestures. I also know that there's cameras all around. I'm in a communist country, and I don't feel like getting any kind of trouble buying directly from a roller as opposed to the company where I'm actually in right now that the government owns. Like, all I could think of was, stop looking at me. Looking at me, stop trying to do hand gestures. I do not want this smoke at all. In this godforsaken, mega humid Cuba that was about 97% humidity the entire time.
You know, I just think of Putin. He just named himself the eternal leader of the country.
Oh, they're not a communist country anymore.
It's not bad.
Yeah, but he just, well, right. They're not communist anymore. They just have.
It's much better there now.
It's a dictator. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if, like, we were the same way and Trump named himself eternal leader here? I mean, wouldn't everybody would love that, I think.
Well. Let's not pretend like things aren't trying to head in that direction.
Well, I mean, he's unified the entire country. No.
Well,
he came after Seattle today.
Okay, the Seattle thing is a little weird. Have you looked at that?
No, apparently.
Roz Simone has been determined. There's Roz Simone. He's the kind of the de facto leader that they're calling a warlord. He walks around with AR-15s. Like, there's people patrolling the streets with guns, and they're saying, we're not giving you your police. That one could get... I'm going to predict that one could be a bad situation.
Right, and well...
There's already some videos out of him
beating some people up, and then a video of him like apologizing, like I lost my temper because I've been up patrolling the streets too long. And
well, the Seattle mayor says it's a summer of love.
Yeah, it's it is as long as you step down and don't do anything.
Right. As long as you don't get out of hand. Because
what's it called? They're calling it Chaz, but it's called the Seattle. What's the name for it, Dell?
I'm pretty sure I like how Houston has been.
What do you mean?
Houston has been, we have really, 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 we've had our protests, but we've been, for the most part, it's been peaceful. Our leaders, it's been, you know.
You know what leaders around the country aren't having, unless obviously if they're GOP centric, Trump criticizing them at all? Because Seattle mayor was like, why don't you go back to your bunker before you talk about me? Go take your ass back to your bunker. All right? I want to hear from you.
Now, it's being called...
make us all safe. Go back to your bunker, is what she said.
The guy, Martin Gugino, is now... it's been determined he has a brain injury. So he's going to keep staying there.
Oh, yeah. The guy who... the 75-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. It's basically, from what I can tell, libertarian's dream come true. It's like, nobody's the boss of us. Here you go.
There you go.
Well, head on up to Seattle. You got a spot.
There it is. Mm-hmm. You got your...
But in anything, there's going to be a vacuum of power. And
that's your utopia.
Somebody's going to try to fill that
there's
void.
Always... doesn't matter what the deal is. Exactly. Is there an absence of power? Someone's going to try to take it.
We've seen that in Narcos.
Somebody's got the power. The guy with the rifle.
Yeah.
He's got the power.
Yeah, it's like right out of any movie we've ever seen. Right. When the government breaks down, guys with guns...
it's a rush to power.
Yeah.
It's a power structure. It happens in the mafia. Mm-hmm. It happens in all the narcos. Yes. You can't have everyone as their own boss and there's no leadership ever.
Because some strong man will say, I've got all these guns.
Wait a minute.
Hey, you guys should listen to me or else.
And the next thing that comes with that is with power, you comes, hey, I've got certain privilege that I can get to here if I can find a way to make money or yeah, that one's going to go. I'm interested to see. I think they should just let it go and see what happens.
All right, 9:30.
I don't know how that one's going to go. I'm not really looking to head down to Seattle anytime soon.
No,
but
Seattle's not on my list. 9:30 ESPN, 97.5. You could drive there with your Gulf Coast Chevy.
You can, and that is something that I highly recommend. Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. That's my man Craig DeSerf. He and Rick Drenner and his entire staff have been doing it for years and years. I consider him a personal friend because he is more than just, you know what, he reached out, and I hope you don't mind me mentioning it, when Dell had a vehicle broke down, he's been listening to the show forever, he goes, just, we'll give Dell a loaner, and whether he buys from us a new car, gets it fixed or whatever, we'll be more than happy to just help him out. And that really is the kind of guy he is. He's not just going to give away loaners to everybody, but he is somebody who wants you to be happy with your experience, whether it's price, whether it's, and look, selection is limited now. From a production standpoint, new cars are not being made right now. So everyone's stockpile is dropping and dropping and dropping. So if you want a new car, really, you need to get in there now, or even pre-owned vehicles, because you're going to see those numbers start to fall. And if you have a pre-owned vehicle that you want to sell, look for a top dollar from Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. They're offering top dollar for low mileage trade-ins. So that is something they would be more than happy to talk to you about your pre-owned vehicles right now. They're right there in Angleton. You can get online at LanceZCars.com and go through the entire process of chatting with them. And then when it's time to get something done, if you want to head down to Angleton, about 40 minutes or so, and you're going to find the most friendly staff that you can possibly find at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Jack Easterby does not have a gun, Art. Okay? What kind of gun does Jack... is it?
Why did he even say that?
Because we were talking about vacuum of power and a guy with taking power.
You take over the power in a building... I don't know. So it's not, it looked like Cal was uncomfortable in that video, and there might have been someone with a gun off camera. There might have been. So I don't know. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. A little update for you. Colin Morikawa and Xander Schauffele at 8, along with Jordan Spieth. He's 3-under today. Guys, that is a story. Jordan Spieth being there. Justin Rose shot 7-under. He hasn't started yet. Neither is Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas is even today through 7. So there it is. They're going low at the Colonial. You can say the Colonial, Lance. Yes, you can say.
You're sure?
I'm positive. I'm positive you can say the Colonial. And other than that, Tony Finau is making a little bit of a move.
How's your fantasy golf stuff going?
Good. Really, really well. Tom Lehman tees off at 212 today. He's 5-under. That's one of the stories out there. He's a 61-year-old up there on the top of the leaderboard. So 713-780-3776. Those of you locally, Patrick Reed, who lives here, 2-under yesterday. Harry Higgs, who Jason Alexander was sitting right there, he said, take Harry Higgs. And Harry Higgs is 4-under today. Harry Higgs is a big dude. He doesn't look that athletic, per se. Not per se. He doesn't look athletic at all. Rory McIlroy, 2-under today, 4-under for the tournament. So he's starting to make a he's starting to go a little bit. I guess that when that F bomb that dropped on the telecast wasn't 2 minutes into the telecast. John Rahm is chipping, and who was it? Koepka. Koepka was the one who said, "Nice effing shot." And it was sports had come back for 2 minutes, and there was already an F-bomb. Sports in America, well, I guess UFC's been back, but real sports, like golf, back for 2 minutes, and there was already an F-bomb.
And to be fair, you would have heard this regardless of if there were fans there or not. It wouldn't have mattered.
Right. Do you think, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, the tech company is putting an app, is making an app on your phone where you can be, have crowd noise from your home that will be piped into the building.
Terrible idea.
And, okay, so when
you get
Kansas
City crowd, I'm going to get on there and just start saying crazy stuff at somebody else's stadium.
Right. Well, but
start chanting in
well, but unison. When your team has the ball, let's say the Texans are playing. When the Texans have the ball, you're not going to cheer into it. You're not going to say anything into it. The Kansas City fans
really?
Are going to be screaming.
Let me ask you how the NFL is going to like this. A bunch of Texans fans have their chant, and they're all doing this. Fire Bill O'Brien! Fire Bill O'Brien! How do you think at a home game, how is that going to play?
Probably how it
or
should.
Or something like.
It's playing how it should. What do you mean?
Or somebody says something like, I don't know, Leonard Fournette's a chode! What if Texans fans say that when Leonard Fournette is playing?
But you can't. But everybody's on there. How are you going to orchestrate that? You can't orchestrate it in the building. How are you going to orchestrate it at home?
What do you mean? You get a whole group of your friends who you're watching the games with.
Hey, but there's 40,000 other people that have it too. How is that going to be heard over everybody?
You don't think that?
That's all. It's going to be a static noise.
No, Twitter will let you. You can create a hashtag and it'll take off on Twitter.
Oh, maybe, but Twitter isn't even going to be close to the number. Everybody's going to be on Twitter, is what you're saying? No.
No, all I'm saying is all it would take is 1,000.
But here's the problem.
Who would do that? Who's that, like, hey, guys, let's get this app so we can scream?
Well, let's go to the game so we can scream. It's the same thing.
You're at a game.
I'm telling you, it would take off that I could scream and real crowd noise that would create real crowd noise at the game.
You know.
Here's the problem
for
is.
For nerds, yeah, it would for.
But here's the problem is if you're at home, the Texans fans are going to scream when the Chiefs have the ball. Or do you have to turn it off in the stadium when the Chiefs have the ball? Because it would normally be quiet when the Chiefs have the ball.
Where?
You see what I'm saying?
In Kansas City.
Right. So Texans fans will have it too, and they'll scream while the Chiefs have the ball. There's no home field advantage.
Will they do a ratio? Like how many Texans fans will be normally at a Chiefs game?
Maybe you have to, when you download, Texans. You have to determine your team.
How many Steelers fans are at a Chargers game?
Well, a ton.
That's different. Yeah. But as far as the Chiefs are concerned.
All the Chargers love this idea.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's do this forever.
For our four fans.
Can we do this forever?
But you'll be able to hear every fan what they're saying.
That's the problem.
Bring mustard.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to week 8 Chargers games. Herbert blows.
Eat it, Herbert.
You suck.
Tyrod stinks.
And fire Anthony Lynn. The Chargers are like, we can't do that. Sorry. We're looking for draft picks.
Speaking of firing Anthony Lynn, somebody brought up this morning on Golic and Wingo. It sure would be nice if Colin Kaepernick got signed, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be, wouldn't it? I think it would be nice. I think I do. I think it would be, that would be good.
I've seen.
I don't know how, somebody actually inquired with Pete Carroll about, I don't know why they asked Pete Carroll about it, about Colin Kaepernick. And Carroll tried to explain when he was supposed to come to Seattle. He didn't do it very well, but he tried to explain that they never had the workout for Colin Kaepernick like they were supposed to have. I don't know. Something happened and we weren't able to meet or something. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you did sign Colin Kaepernick and then he wasn't very good, because let's remember, he hasn't played in a long time. Suppose he's not very good and you have to cut him. How would that look? What's that look like?
It looks bad.
It looks really bad.
Particularly if the guy who you cut him for in terms of the backup is a guy no one really knows and has
and
no...
And really white.
Well, that wouldn't help either. I've heard people say, because Goodell didn't mention his name in the speech, that the only way you make this right is to give Colin Kaepernick a job. I just don't know if that's a place where he wants to be, where he's instructing teams how to map out their roster. He can't tell a team to sign him, right?
No.
They would have to, have to be done on their own accord.
So
I feel like that argument's a silly one, but it's done by some people in sports, some people out of sports who follow the story. Goodell can't tell an owner to sign Kaepernick.
That's a problem. So that came up in our discussion with OB and Easterby yesterday, was about Colin Kaepernick. And I don't think I'm out of school for saying they believe he's going to be in the league this year. Or that he'll get his chance. They believe that to be the case. Here's the problem is there's a lot of players who want Roger Goodell to apologize for how Colin Kaepernick was treated or something to that effect. And Roger Goodell, the problem is now they've already come to an agreement, but Roger Goodell, any admission, I personally don't believe that Colin Kaepernick there was an intentional, and you have to understand this concept. So don't freak out when I say this. I don't believe that Colin Kaepernick was blackballed in the classic sense that there was
collusion,
an attempt to collude, starting at the top with
or a mandate, don't sign him.
Goodell. I do not believe. That's
I don't believe
the case.
That either.
What I do believe is you have a bunch of owners who are like, I ain't touching it. This juice is not worth the squeeze.
No, it's not.
Because my fans are going to get mad and all this. But I think there's been a fundamental change where you can see some teams who have an interest. And there has been. And look, one team came out and said, we didn't think Colin really wanted to play. Once we talked, we looked into it. We felt firmly that based on his demands and stuff like that, the Colin Kaepernick really wasn't interested
in playing. Well, the XFL said he don't want. Well, of course, that's the XFL, but he wanted $20 million.
Colin Kaepernick, he's been out for a while, so I can't really speak to the football. But at the time, Colin Kaepernick should have been playing. Based on football,
but it wasn't based on football. And again, I agree with you. And if Roger Goodell does apologize, it would mean that he was
culpable.
Yes. That he had something to do with him not being signed. But what happens if the players demand he apologize? If the players demand that he apologize, I didn't have anything to do with Colin. I was not complicit in him not having a job. He didn't have a job because nobody hired him.
Then we're not coming back to play in your
league. Okay, well then go ahead. Don't come back. I'm just saying
that is something that was raised, that what happens if Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes and Malcolm Jenkins and all the guys on the video say, the next step, the final step, by the way, the NFL is giving $250 million to fund, the same way Jordan gave $100 million, the NFL stepped up with $250 million, $25 million a year for 10 years. That's $35 million a year for 10 years just from Jordan and the NFL to fund issues that will promote equality and ending injustice and things like that.
That's good.
So that's $35 million.
How about put it into police training?
Well, that's what Dak wants.
That would be good.
Yeah, Dak wants to. Dak actually did.
Yeah, he gave Prescott a million. He gave a million.
His money specifically is going to that, and that's something too.
Yeah,
that's an important part of it too.
Yeah,
in the hiring practices and when you need to maybe take a break, so that you get your mind right, because it is a hard job and a stressful job.
And, and some sensitivity or whatever.
Sensitivity.
Training before you become a cop.
That's a long
time.
I'm not an expert, so I'm not going to pretend I know what
one of the things is we don't kneel on people we've arrested anymore.
Yeah, you would think that wouldn't have to be trained, but...
Art Acevedo was asked about the... Channel 13 asked him, you know,
said it's not standard.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. Yet we've seen it time and again, the kneeling thing on people. Kneeling has really become an issue.
It has been an issue in this country for a while. It's been a thing in the country, certainly.
It's been a thing. And it's going to be again.
I didn't think of it at the time when we had Al Rosen on, the constable. I wish he was back on, so I would ask him, what is the thought about extending training for police officers in terms of time spent to not only reform some of the practices, but kind of, I don't want to say
make
weed
it
out.
Better.
That and weed out maybe people who don't want to go through the process, because part of training not only is you learn things to become ready for this particular job, but it finds the people who actually want to do the job the right way.
Well, and, you know, is 6 months long enough or whatever it is? Because it doesn't feel like guys are trained correctly.
No, I've said it before.
Those new cops that were standing there and watching, the rookies,
that were
standing there and felt like they had no power.
Well, but you understand that, though. Like Bun B talked about that he had a great video. And he talked about the fact that he understands, like, when you're new to a clique, and that's a clique, and you have that's like a rookie telling, you know, a veteran in sports what to do. And two of the guys made comments about, shouldn't we just roll them over or something? And one guy was his first day. His fourth day. And one guy, it was either first or fourth. It was not much. Yeah. And the other guy had only been there a couple months.
The Asian
guy had been there for a while,
Eddie.
I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, had been there for a while, but...
I thought he was the guy that was there fourth day.
No. You got to make it... If you see something, do something. You got to step in, and it has to be okay inside the police force, which is retraining the idea of veterans... You know, bad is bad, and you can't cover it up for veteran guys and stuff like that. I mean, it's something we see, and it's not something we see with whistleblowers having to step up. If you're on the low end of the totem pole in some big business, some corporation that's greedy and doing something like it at Enron, for example, you know, it's hard to step up and be – you don't have the power to step – if the top people are – it's hard to step up and make change unless you become that big whistleblower. And once you're a whistleblower, you're out.
Yeah,
obviously.
That dynamic is not unique to police officers.
No, it's not. It's a common structure throughout
everything. I wonder if one of those rookies, the first day or fourth day guy, pushed Chauvin off him and said, hey, you're choking him or whatever. And George lived. George, what it would be like for him? Would it be hell? Because he... You know, he stood up to Chauvin.
On video, he would certainly be praised by some people, but as far as his department itself, he would probably have issues interfering in that particular instance.
Right.
And that's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate. 948 ESPN 975 713-780-3776.
ESPN 975. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 951 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. To get in here to hang out with us, you can do that, 713-780-3776. A reminder, Wednesday night, if you are a Coug fan or Mississippi State fan, we are going to have go to the Touchdown Club website. We'll have Mike Leach and Dana Holgerson, and I will moderate it. The two of them for about an hour talking about their teams, talking about football, talk college football. And I'm sure if you're a Texas Tech fan, you might want to get in on that too, because they'll talk about the old days, getting together and how maybe a little Hail Mummy Never know. He might come up there because those two, well, Dana played for him and then coached under him. So that's all going to happen on Wednesday night. Go to the Touchdown Club, Houston Touchdown Club website, and see how you can join in. So that is going to be fun. 713-780-3776. Chris Sims says Jarrett Stidham is more talented than Tua.
Yeah, I saw that.
Chris Sims says a lot of stuff to just say stuff, I think.
Sometimes I wonder that. Jarrett Stidham is very talented. I think his it's tough, though, because even if you talk about how pretty his passes are and all that stuff, I still saw 2 years of his tape versus much better supporting cast, obviously, with Alabama. I don't think you could objectively look at it and say Jarrett Stidham is more talented than Tua. I just don't think that's accurate. I think Stidham has talent. But that, to me, that is Sims making a bold comment. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd see many people who would agree with them who are football people. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's accurate, I should say.
No, but I think it does help Stidham in that, you know, it might get, I don't know. I don't know that there's a lot of confidence. And it, as a matter of fact, Is the Patriots situation right now the least attractive in the NFL? The Patriots quarterback situation?
Yeah, because you got to follow behind Tom Brady. Yeah. It's a no-win situation. You're the rebound.
Well, not only that, but it's Jarrett Stidham as opposed to, I mean, because you've got Burrow, you've got Tua over here. Maybe the Chargers situation is, I don't know, not as attractive. But I mean, that's a high draft pick.
I think it's one of the worst. They don't have great wide receivers.
No, but I mean, just the quarterbacks in the room. Of all of the quarterbacks in the room, which one is the least attractive?
For the team.
Yeah.
Not players stepping into a spot, but the team.
The team.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, no.
The Patriots is probably Jarrett the worst.
Is completely completely
unproven.
Unchallenged and unproven.
Yeah.
It's got to be them.
Yeah.
It's got to be them. Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick is still the guy in Miami for right now. There's no rush on Tua. They can take their time with Tua. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is a good quarterback.
AJ says Jacksonville situation.
Yeah, it's not great.
No,
but I still feel like, you know what? I still saw some good things from Gardner Minshew.
I did too. He had some good numbers. He actually has some good numbers.
I still think there's a chance Gardner Minshew becomes an NFL.
And Gardner Minshew has, no, it's worse in New England because Stidham doesn't have any, he has no experience. None.
And he doesn't have a great cast of receivers. DJ Chark, we saw DJ Chark is a guy who, they actually are doing something about adding some talent in Jacksonville, trying to. DJ Chark is a guy who immediately, kind of like Darius Slayton for Daniel Jones. And Darius Slayton, I thought Darius Slayton had talent when I watched him at Auburn with Stidham. And he had a nice little season with Daniel Jones as a young quarterback wide receiver tandem. Then you have DJ Chark and Gardner Minshew who have some – there's something there. There's some chemistry there. Frankly, the only guy who doesn't have chemistry is a young quarterback right now. You have Hollywood Brown and Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes and everybody. It's Deshaun's the one guy left. Now, when I bring that up, I'm accused of being really mad. But it is a fact. The only young quarterback now, Amari Cooper and Dak – name a young quarterback who doesn't have a dude with him. A wide receiver. Deshaun's the only one. And don't tell me Brandon Cooks. Don't tell me Will Fuller.
I think, though, the four of them together as opposed to just one really good guy. No, it's much worse than New England. I would rather have the Texans wide receiver core than New England's.
But he's not an accomplished quarterback. Jarrett Stidham.
It doesn't matter. Even if he had an accomplished... Tom Brady didn't look good with those receivers last year.
No, but you need a guy. You need one guy who's your dude, your go-to dude. Yeah. You know, Steve... I mean, look at Joe Montana, Steve Young. You can go back in history. Tom Brady even had not only Gronk, but he also had Edelman at times. You can't find great... Warren Moon is actually a guy who had multiple wide receivers and maybe not a true number one, but he was also in a run and shoot, which was unusual at the time. But start naming off great quarterbacks, even if it's...
Well, okay, so it's the chicken or the egg. Which made who? Who made who? Did Montana make Jerry Rice, or did Jerry Rice make Montana?
They're both the same.
Yeah.
They're both good. They're both great.
Yeah, but it certainly helped. It certainly helped Montana to have Jerry Rice.
Yeah, and John Taylor.
And John Taylor.
But then he also had some success in Kansas City. He had some success before Jerry Rice. Because Jerry Rice, Montana was already there before Jerry Rice. He had Dwight Clark. I don't think Jerry Rice wasn't on the Dwight Clark team.
Probably not. So. No, I don't think so.
Maybe I don't think so. Right. I don't think so, because I think that happened. Right? I think
he had a lot of success winning the Super Bowl without him.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not, I mean, he was great already, but it's just rare for a great young quarterback or even a very good young quarterback to be in a situation where he doesn't have a true wide receiver one. This is a very unusual spot the Texans are putting Deshaun in. Usually you have a wide receiver one. Now, Phillip Rivers had Antonio Gates as his wide receiver one. He happened to be a tight end. But most of the really, you had Santonio Holmes. Sometimes you'll have two good wide receivers with Santonio Holmes and Hines Ward where
liken the situation more to what you said about the Oilers. Deshaun's situation is we got a lot of little fast guys that can run.
Curtis Duncan, Haywood Jeffries.
Haywood would tell you I was a great receiver, okay?
Right. Ernest Givens. There's three of them right there. Is that what Brandon could? Maybe. Maybe it's something similar to that.
I think it's real similar to that.
Yeah, maybe it's something similar.
Yeah. Where Will Fuller could be the Haywood Jeffries in the,
Well, Haywood could run. No, I mean, Will doesn't really fit. I don't know who the fast one was of that group. Maybe Curtis Duncan was the fastest of that group. Haywood
Givens.
Wasn't a big, what didn't run great. You think it was Ernest?
Probably.
Was the fastest? Probably. Maybe so. But it is a similar situation. But you don't see it often. It's very rare to see the win by, it's just like NBA. Every once in a while you'll see a Spurs team or that Pistons championship team where it's a collection of good players.
Yeah.
Usually it's dudes.
Yeah.
It's straight up dudes. But sometimes, very rarely, it's a collection of players. Deshaun's going to have to go from having one of the best dudes in the entire league in Hopkins to having a collection of guys who he's not used to throwing to. Hell, he's not even used to throwing to Will Fuller. He's been on that team going up on 5 years.
Well, he practices when he's there. He practices hard. AJ and I had a conversation yesterday about this very thing, and he felt like without D-Hop, you know, that's a double team that is going to be lost. So are the running backs going to be effective out of the backfield as nearly as much? And my thought was, you got four fast guys in Stills and Fuller and Cooks and Cobb.
Maybe three. I don't know if Cobb.
Cobb's still pretty quick.
He was a 4-5 guy.
Now he runs. Now he drops balls, but he runs. He
didn't strike me as a fast guy. The other ones, I would say yes.
Either way, they stretch the field. The reason Will Fuller's here is he stretched the field.
Who are you going to when it's third and six?
D-Hop did not stretch the field.
No, but it didn't matter.
Well, D-Hop, who are you going to go to on third and six?
D-Hop was your guy.
I think you're going to have to.
He would catch it.
Yes.
Who's your guy this year? We don't know yet. I don't think it's Cooks.
I don't think it's you can't have your whoopee. It's not a third of the catches went to D-Hop. It's going to be split up evenly. It's going to be split up.
Yeah, but you still have to have a confidence in going to a certain guy and a guy you know will make that catch. It's not Fuller because Fuller's not a quantity. He's going to be a quality catch guy. He's going to be a high yards per catch other than his quick hitch stuff.
Yeah, he does.
But, I mean, realistically, he's a deep ball guy, like you said. Brandon Cook, I think Cobb is very overrated right now, and I don't think the Texans are going to get their money's worth out of him. To me, Cooks is the key. Cooks could be the guy that becomes the factor. I could see Deshaun really kind of falling in love with Cooks, but he's not a classic possession receiver. Is there going to be a tight end who emerges other than Fells? Because Fells is kind of a big lumbering guy. Is Jordan Akins going to do it? Is Kahale Warren going to come out?
Is he alive? I haven't seen. Is he still alive? I don't know. I think that you're going to have a situation where Deshaun is going to grow up knowing, and he's going to have to be, as opposed to relying on his whoopee, he doesn't have it anymore. So now he's got to depend on all the guys. And you know what? They may make them a lot more diverse in that we don't know where they're going to go, where they're going to attack on third and six now. Because we knew it was going to be D-Hop before. And D-Hop still caught it, don't get me wrong, but not nearly enough. But he still caught it every time that it was thrown to him. But now it's going to be spread out all over. And it might be the running back that's going to be catching a third and six out of the backfield because guys are going to stretch the field and it's going to leave that running back open. I think that I really believe this offense is going to be better this year. And I'm looking forward to Timmy running the show.
No, I think it is. I think it's going to be better too, but that is one stumbling block is quarterback feeling comfortable. I think it's a real concern and a real question mark because he's had one guy his entire career where he knew, man, I know this guy's got my back and I know this guy will help me out and I know that I can trust this guy. And that guy was DeAndre Hopkins, and now that guy's gone. All the other stuff I like. And you know what? Had you said, we're not taking David Johnson. As a matter of fact, not only are we not taking David Johnson's money, we're going to pay, I don't know. There just wasn't going to be a scenario where you're going to be able to, where you could have kept DeAndre Hopkins, but I think the Texans felt like maybe it wasn't even fair also for Hopkins because he had badly outplayed his contract. I don't know. I just missed DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think he misses the Texans.
Ooh, doesn't feel like it.
Based on some of his comments.
10:03, are you beating it?
I do have a meeting at 10:30. Stay one more. Can we do something non-sports?
Yeah.
Next segment?
That's what we do the 10 o'clock hour pretty much.
I like that we're hitting the brakes on time.
10:03, ESPN 97.5.
Good job, Dell.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. What do you think?